Tantor Audio presents Earthrise by William C. Dietz, narrated by Luke Daniels. 1. Death Day Minus 80. Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. Man is born free, and everywhere he is in chains. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, The Social Contract, 1762. Hell Hill. The sun had risen, the early morning air was crisp, and Manning could see his breath. From his vantage point, standing atop the vast stack of cargo modules known as Big Pink, he could also see a generous swath of the strange, almost surreal landscape in which he and thousands of slaves had been forced to live during the last few months. Months that felt like years. What he and everyone else referred to as Hell Hill was located on a finger of land once known as Governor's Point, located just south of the once-thriving city of Bellingham, Washington, a place that had once been home to a well-respected state college, a small but charming central business district, and a population willing to trade the hectic pace of a city like Seattle for the pleasures of kayaking on Puget Sound, snowboarding on Mount Baker, and hiking in the Cascades. But that was prior to February 28, 2020, the day that the Saurons destroyed the cities of New York, Paris, Moscow, Madrid, Cairo, Beijing, Sydney, Lima, Rio de Janeiro, Johannesburg, Tehran, and New Delhi. The worst damage was inflicted by powerful energy cannons mounted on Sauron spaceships. Dreadnoughts that measured almost a mile in length were more than 2,000 feet wide and carried upward of 20,000 aliens, plus the slaves required to support them. Though unable to descend through the atmosphere, the largest battleships had no difficulty firing their weapons from space itself. Earth's atmosphere shrieked in protest each time a bolt of energy tore through the air. Those located within a half mile of the impact experienced a chest-thumping concussion, and if they were fortunate enough to survive, could watch skyscrapers topple, bridges collapse, and entire neighborhoods erupt into flame. The fires spread to suburbs, grasslands, forests, and jungles. Soon the entire planet was wrapped in a blanket of thick gray smoke. But that was little more than the beginning. Confused by the nature of the attack, and uncertain as to who the instigators had been, the humans turned on each other. The cities of Bombay and Islamabad were consumed by mushroom-shaped clouds, while three neighboring countries launched subnuclear missiles at Israel. All of this occurred not over a period of months, not over a period of weeks, but in a matter of 3 days. Nor was the attack over when the orbital shelling finally ended. That's when the Saurons employed space-to-surface missiles against hardened military installations, when the systematic carpet bombing started, and when swarms of manta-shaped alien attack ships sought to clear the skies, roads, and freeways of human life. With the exception of assets which their superiors had identified as potentially useful, the Sauron pilots destroyed anything that moved, including airplanes, trucks, cars, and the long, ragged columns of refugees that snaked out of the cities searching for shelter. More than 3 billion people died, enough to eliminate any immediate resistance, but not so many as to drive the human race to the edge of extinction. No, the Saurons were careful to stop short of complete annihilation, not because they had a system of ethics, but because they needed the survivors, needed slaves to construct the enormous citadel-like fortresses within which a new generation of Saurons would hatch, each killing its progenitor during the birth process, and each taking its place within the complex racial hierarchy upon which the alien culture had been built. A social structure in which each caste had a distinct function. The Zin governed, the Khan fought, and the Fawn performed menial work,